हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 99, Chapter 14. Krishna explains the yoga system to Uddhava. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "How much is the devotee dear to you?" Sri Krishna responds, "Even Brahma, my own son, Shiva arising from my sarup, Shankarshana, my brother, Lakshmi, my wife, and my own form are not as dear to me as the devotee." End quote. However, out of great joy, he praises Uddhava specifically. Though Brahma and others are also devotees, their identity as son, amsha, brother, or wife, is more prominent than their devotee portion. According to the rule that things are designated by predominant qualities, they should be designated as son, amsha, brother, and wife, rather than as devotees. In persons like Nanda and Jashoda, their bhakti portion is much greater than their identity as parents, because of the greatness of their prema. Thus, they are called devotees rather than parents. Right? Because that's the thing. You always hear, that's why, you know, sometimes the devotees go, no, no, but Mother and Yashoda and Nanda, they're actually the parents of Krishna and that, you know, because in this, then the Acharya revealed that Krishna was there, and then Vasudeva Krishna came, and then he was merged into it. So they're trying to really point out how Nanda and Yashoda are parents. But we see here the Acharyas actually don't do that. Because the bhakta aspect of them, they happen to be parents and their service to Krishna, their prema is expressed through the position of being his parents, but it's not about being parents. While for Nanda, Devaki and Vasudeva, it's about being parents of Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the aspect, is because that takes prominence. So that's why you always see that it's always mentioned that he's the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Right? In a generic sense. If he's in Braj, then we don't. Yes?
Alright, so Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that we don't aspire for four kinds of liberation in Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Is that why? Because that identity is very strong and it's prominent?
Yes, because then you're thinking about that this. The happiness is being on the same planet as the Lord, or being an associate, or being, having the same opulences or the same form. And so that's part of the happiness that you have, you know, spiritual happiness, because it's in connection with the Lord. But it will take on a prominence, you know, some aspect that for those who don't aspire, then it'll just be that devotion. It happens to be expressed through a certain particular thing, but in that expression, they will be associates, they will have a similar form, they will have, be on the same planet, they will be associates. You know, they will have a similar kind of opulence and all that, because it matches. Does that make sense? But it's because it just matches the devotion. So the secondary only has the support it's only supportive of the primary. Well, the liberation is actually taken as a goal, you know, in pure devotion. But the point is it takes on a prominence by this description. So that's why we're not really that interested. Because it'll come anyway. You go back to Godhead, why you won't have those four aspects of liberation. And the platform you function on is that of transcendence, the eternity, knowledge, you know, eternity. So therefore, that comes along with it also. You get the benefits of all those. But it's not about those. You know, it'd be just like let us say you have someone who's a bit below the social status to stay in a five-star hotel, but they're close enough to appreciate it. Then you have somebody who's staying at a five-star hotel is normal. In fact, it's 7 stars better. Right?
Yeah.
Now, when they're in the hotel, the one, even though they're both in the hotel, they'll basically do the same thing. The one is has a tendency to be absorbed in just being in the hotel. You know, wow, isn't this great? Wow, check this out. You know, check out the fees. Check out, you know, everything's all check this out. You know, go to the spa. Oh, wow, check it. Like that. The other person is just normal. So they go about their business, whatever it is. Well, the other one, there is that aspect. So you know, and once all the guys that normally there know that these guys actually don't belong here. You know, it means they pay, but they don't have the nature or the quality to always be there. You know, they're like, how you say, tourists. You know, they pay like that, and they're probably behaved, but they're more like tourists, you know. They're checking out the lift. The other guys, it's just the lift. But for them, it's, wow, check out the lift, all the mirrors, and this and that, and the gold buttons, and, you know, the guy there at the door, and this, you know, outfit. And does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that liberation, then it's about that, you know, that we're in Vaikuntha, we have the same form, we have this, and that's all the glories of being with God and, you know, all these wonderful things. And so it's in pure devotion, but it will take some flavor. Just like here, that being parents, it takes a flavor. Well, Nanda and Yashoda, they're just known as devotees. And so as devotees, you see many times they just all get together and they're not making the distinction. For Dwarka, you'll see this, the distinctions will be made. Even they all get together. But theirs, they're all in the Govardhan. There's no distinction made of where they stand or this or that or what that. Everybody's saying something, the gopis say. They're, because it's devotional, then the gopis can make a point, Nanda Baba can make a point. It's not like, hey, I'm the senior guy here. Like that. Everybody can make their point because they're all devotees. So it has a different flavor. It's not controlled by that formality. Is that?
Yeah.
You know? In other words, there's this free flow of prema that's there, that's more important. It just, to give some, some direction to it for taste, for rasa, than their parents. Does that make sense?
The difficulty for us is to understand, because it sounds like a bit selfish.
Which?
But you know, like, I like the position and it's really important. That
it's that they're doing these things. So it's not that it has a flaw. It's just like Rupa Goswami says, it's perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So Braj is most perfect because it's just about that devotional aspect. That's the feature. So that is the aspect. It's just more, but the point is because it's devotional, it's on that platform, it's just about pleasing Krishna. All these levels are appreciated. We tend to look at it from, you know, distinction, adoration, and profit, that kind of thing. Our condition, you know, that the status is this and that, you know, oh, this rasa is higher, and then this is there, and then like this. But it's not about that. It's about the taste that's there. Just like, let's say you have a socialite. Okay?
Socialite means somebody who likes to...
Socialite would be somebody who's very conscious of their social position.
Okay.
So they're going to all the right parties, talking to all the right people, saying all the right thing, dressing in all the right way, showing up at the right, you know, doing everything just right. Okay. Then, and so, you know, and so we're talking about, you know, just in the context of best. Okay? Then you have someone who is a connoisseur. Right? So now, it may be that the best place for the best food is also socially the best place. It's a very common, you know, thing. So therefore, the socialite will be there because of the social, and the connoisseur will be there because of the food. Mm-hmm. But you do also have situations where the place that's socially very good is quite good food, or may not be, but is good food. But there's this little place or little corner, little something, you know, privately owned little thing that's actually better. The connoisseur will be there. The socialite will never be there. You know what I'm saying? Unless it becomes popular to go to these out-of-the-way places and you can make a blog about it, then they'll do it. But if it's not about that, forget it. You wouldn't be caught dead there. You know? Does that make sense? You'd rather eat, you know, boiled shoes than, you know, and if it's socially acceptable. You know what I'm saying? So it's just difference in flavor. So the majesty then creates a particular flavor. It has to be done through majesty. But sweetness is not restricted by that. It's just the taste. So the majesty is the taste. So any sweetness is there has to be in the context of majesty. While then in Braj, it's not restricted by that. It's just sweetness can be there without that. So these formalities, these secondary aspects are purely, they only have the position of assisting. While you see in Dwarka, then, or Vaikuntha, that they have a position. Right? They're there as assistance to, the Vijnana and Kriya Shaktis are there as assistance to the Ichha Shakti, or pleasing Krishna. But they take on a prominence, the quality of the Jnana and Kriya takes on a prominence. And so, because God's great, so naturally then the secondary will be great. But in Braj, it's not about its greatness, it's just about its efficiency to serve Krishna. It's the best thing to serve Krishna with. It's nothing about the thing itself. So in actuality, Braj, the opulence is actually greater than Vaikuntha, but because no one focuses on it, it's never discussed. Right? Chaitanya Charitamrita will come across it in the, you know, one pastime where there's a discussion, I think, between Sri Damodar and Srivast Thakur. Srivast Thakur is talking about the opulence of Vaikuntha and the greatness and that, and you know, what do you have in Vrindavan? Just some dust and some sticks and a few cows, you know, like that. And then the Srup Dominar makes the point is, yeah, one grain of that dust is Chintamani. The whole opulence of all your Vaikuntha comes out of one of those grains of dust. So how opulent is Vrindavan? And that twig is connected to a Kalpa Vriksha tree that can give anything, but they only ask for fruit and flowers. And those cows, they are also Srup, they can give anything, but they just take some milk. Because no one cares about the opulence, though it's, you know, vastly greater than what's in Vaikuntha. But Vaikuntha, you notice it because that's the taste. Is that what you mean? Yeah. Traveling Sankirtan.
He always goes around.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But I'm saying he's traveling Sankirtan. He has that, and he just rides around, so everybody hears the holy name. So, does that make some sense?
Yeah.
So, in other words, it's just difference in taste. It's not that one's right or one's wrong. It's just the difference in flavor. But of it, the intensity, the fullness of it in Braj is greater than the other realms. So one says it's more pleasing to Krishna, but it's more pleasing on the absolute platform. So all of it's pleasing, just as pleasing, more pleasing, most pleasing. Is that make sense? Yeah, so then it's like that.
So the question comes, will we develop that taste? Because here, everything's based, even our service is based on our position. We can't function without position, unless you know
Bhava. Well, that's just for the, that's mechanically, that's how things work. Because even in the past times, then why does Radharani go to Nanda Bhavan to cook in the morning?
Because Yashoda calls her.
And who is Yashoda? Just another lady in the community?
She's the mom.
And besides being the mom, she is the
wife of Nanda Maharaj.
Wife?
The wife of Nanda Maharaj.
Wife of Nanda Maharaj. And who is Nanda Maharaj? She's the king. That makes her the queen. So because the queen's calling. So going there to cook for Krishna, that's the part that's important too. To serve Krishna and please Mother Yashoda, right, as a devotee, that's why Radharani goes.
Right?
But why is she allowed to go? Who, under whose authority is she? Under the mother-in-law, right? This is where all the original mother-in-law jokes come from. Right? Now is that Jatila is the original mother-in-law, right? And so then, because Jatila, being totally materialistic, you know, in the pastime, then is thinking that if my daughter-in-law goes and cooks and pleases the queen, then we'll get all kinds of material benefits. So, you know, you have to, all of that's there. That's how it works. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so all these things are there only because it sets the environment for that flavor. But it's not about the secondary. It's just about the primary. And the secondary is supporting. Well, in Vaikuntha, then the secondary is also simply supporting the primary, but you notice it. Like that. You know, it's part of the thing. While in Braj, the noticing of the secondary is only for bringing out the primary. It doesn't actually have a separate flavor. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're noticing, okay, this devotee did this nice service for Krishna. That service, the technical service itself, is secondary. Like Mother Yashoda, her love for Krishna is primary. It's expressed through her cooking. So the cooking's secondary. But you'll point out how nice the cooking was, simply as interaction between devotees. But it's not about the cooking. It's about the devotion. And so the cooking is simply a symptom of that devotion. Well, Vaikuntha is also a symptom of devotion. He's God, so they want to do the greatest. So they make the secondary very, very opulent. It's just, it's two aspects of the same thing. It's just one, the secondary takes on more of a role of greatness because God is great. And the other one, it doesn't because it's not about God being great. It's about him, about just the personal relationship. So the informality. So if you have a formal person, it's about pleasing Krishna. It's about him as a person, but it has formality to it. Right? So Vaikuntha is formal. Braja is informal. And Dwarka is a mix. But because of that mix, it's also called Vaikuntha. It's just Maha Vaikuntha. You know? And then you have Mathura, you know, as above that. But that's all Vaikuntha. From Mahanarayan on down, that's all Vaikuntha. So only Braj is not Vaikuntha. So that's why you can sometimes it's also divided, go cool and go low, you know, of the planet. Because Braj is go cool. And Mathura, Dwarka, and all, they're go low. Because they have that mix of grandeur to them. Does that make sense? So that's how even the Vaikuntha Wallas, they can appreciate the Vrindavan pastimes, but they're seeing it as part of Goloka, not Gokula. They don't understand Gokul. Right? They see Goloka because it's Vaikuntha. Just they can appreciate the sweetness because sweetness is there in Vaikuntha. It's just, you know, if you emphasize the sweetness a little bit more, but maintain the opulence, but emphasize it more, then many devotees appreciate that. So we see even of the Alwars, then three of them appreciated the Vrindavan pastime, so one specifically. One was exclusively Vrindavan, the others would write on other things and Vrindavan. So they bring out more sweetness, while the other nine would be more the formal. So it's not that they don't have that, but it's just that it'll still be in that context of opulence. So Radharani goes to the Rasa dance, you know, the Maharasa and all that, you know, on the Sarat Purnima on a swan airplane with 10 million maidservants. So it's still Radha and Krishna, but it has that touch of opulence to it. You understand? So that's that, you know, in other words, she. Hey, so. Opulence talks, nobody walks. Yeah, like that. but in Braj Liwal. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, we're good.
I have a question regarding the superiority of rasas.
It's taste.
It's taste. So, it's about Krishna's taste, it's about devotee's taste.
Why are you worried?
Just to put it...
You want to know if your taste has any value or not, or it's only Krishna's taste, so therefore do I have any free will or not, or is it just...
Something
I'm being
like
forced...
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Nice. Yeah. You can smell that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No? Before?
Okay.
It's just that with time of doing this, because you start to finely cut things, so you can tell the background of it. See, is that... The point is it's according to taste. What way? Because Krishna is rasa. So he's all five rasas. Krishna's not in a rasa. He is rasa. So it's whichever way you like to relate to him, that's the way he reciprocates. And everyone has their nature, and by being in that position, you're satisfied. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what it is, whatever it is, you're satisfied. So the main point is you choose whichever is the thing. It's not a matter of status, it's a matter of satisfaction. Because people who choose by status only are not necessarily satisfied. Does that make sense? Yes.
In this regard, Jiva Goswami explains about the difference between a material rasa and a spiritual rasa. So both have an object on whom you are... Because you are serving, and then there is you are feeling happiness. So material rasa, the happiness is termed as sukha.
Okay.
And the spiritual rasa is termed as ananda. So the spiritual, our own satisfaction arises from serving and satisfying the object, that is Krishna.
Okay.
In a material rasa, you may try to serve and satisfy the other person. It is only because you are getting sukha. That's why you are serving others.
Yeah. So it's how well you can get them to serve you. And if that means you serve them, so they'll serve you.
So that's why sometimes it seems that the material rasa also, they are also doing service, they are doing everything. But the spurti, the inspiration is coming because they are getting happiness.
Then okay. Spurti is the inspiration.
I mean, their inspiration for serving the other person is they are getting happiness.
Yes, yes.
But here in spiritual, it's
completely... about Krishna getting happiness.
Then you automatically get satisfied. That is...
Yeah, yeah. So you don't have to worry. It's just whatever is the natural position. It's not that... It's not like going to Walmart or something and, you know, do I take the frozen pizza or do I take the, you know, frozen, what do you call it, cannolis or something. That's not how it's working. You know, it's just what naturally arises. You have a natural relationship with Krishna. And so going back to that relationship, you'll be completely happy.
Maybe it's all right.
But you want to know if you can still choose. Yes, you can. But the point is...
I just want to know how to get there.
So chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna. Means the process we're following, that's the path. Because unless you purify the heart, you know, in connection with trying to please Krishna, then how will that be revealed? If the mirror is dirty, how can you see? Even if you clean the mirror, you can't see unless the sun's up. Right? Unless there's light. So Krishna is the sun. So seeing the sun, then you see yourself. So you're cleaning the mirror so that when Krishna arises in the heart, you can see yourself also. You understand? But the point is the relationship between you and Krishna. It's not about you. Because otherwise, as you said, that's sukha. When it's about Krishna, that's ananda. Mechanics will look the same. You understand? That's the... Yes? No?
Chewing.
Okay. So you chew. Chewing. Yes. Okay. Okay. Thus they are called devotees rather than parents. They are dearest to Krishna. Darshayam cha vidham loka atmano bhaktya vasyatam. The Lord displays the attribute of coming under the control of his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.9. Thus they are called devotees, and they bring Krishna under his control. The excellence of Jashoda is praised. Neither Brahma, nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Jashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.20. Right, so it's about that Krishna reciprocating with the devotees based on that affection. This is what Krishna wants to do. And so then he expands and takes care of all these flavors. Because he has all these natures. He is rasa. There's all the varieties of these rasa. Therefore, there's all the variety of the living entities that are then serving him. Okay? That's the whole. Sri Krishna continued. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds, which are situated within me. Thus, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees, who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity, and equal disposition everywhere. Right? So those devotees, because they'll go and preach, therefore Krishna's mercy follows them. And that's why then he purifies the three worlds through these devotees. As they move about, you know, doing their Krishna conscious activities, then the three worlds get purified.
There is a point also the 64 qualities of Lord. Like, the first one is he has prema for his devotees, and then another one is he's controlled by the devotees.
Okay. Of the 64.
Okay. And then it systematically proves that how the other qualities are sometimes not manifested if it is to enhance these two primary. Like Saucham, Krishna is considered very clean. But in the when he goes to Mathura, then his whole blood is flowing all over. He's not okay. Clean. This because this encourages the devotees.
In their affection for Krishna. What do you say those two words?
Krishna has prema for his devotees.
Okay.
And then he's controlled by his devotees.
Okay, he has love for the devotees and he's controlled by the devotees. Okay.
Everywhere this point comes.
Yeah, well, you can see here as Krishna gets more and more into it, then it's like that. The Lord is devoted to his devotees. Okay, that brings it here. And then Krishna says here, he's controlled by them. So he mentions it like that. So these two. Okay,
fine. All other things, sometimes Krishna may be acting contrary to that.
Okay.
These two never.
They won't be. Okay, the other qualities you may see he's doing or not.
Sometimes it's like he's considered truthful, but.
Sometimes he's not.
He's like, yes. He gave up his life in the battlefield of Kurukshetra to keep Bhishma safe.
Okay.
So like that he proves all. Some 5-6 examples he gives for 6 qualities that we consider as the best, but he doesn't do that.
Okay.
But this should not be seen as a fault because this is a abhushan on the Lord to enhance the primary two.
Yeah, and the devotees, they're surrendered to the Lord. Cause that's come up, right? In some purports, those three are all together. The devotees surrender. Well, surrender and devotion to the Lord. Then the Lord's devotion to them. And then as they surrender, Krishna then is controlled by them.
Yes.
So then it reciprocates. They're surrendered. They serve in love. Krishna loves them. And he's controlled by them. So this is actually the core qualities. And everything else is just expanding from there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
mm-hmm.
Nice. Cool. And it takes this many cantos to get to this point where we appreciate it. Otherwise, no, but what about and this and that and, you know. Yeah, okay. So that's what they're trying to do. Krishna's trying to bring it down to this. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Moreover, just as the devotee follows me, I, being invisible to the devotee, follow the devotee. Sukadev has described me as Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman, the Lord who is devoted to his devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.86.59. The devotee contemplates my form, qualities, pastimes, and associates. Munim. Sri Goswami explains the word puyeya as follows. The Lord thinks, let me purify the universe which exists within me. Jiva Goswami says, puyeya means, let me become purified of the fault of not being able to repay the devotion of my followers. Actually, bhakti cannot exist without taking the dust from the feet of the devotees. And without bhakti, one cannot experience the sweetness of my rasa. Right? So that's why the appreciation of devotees in that is a very important aspect. Like that, to be able to see that we're not the judgment of good and bad and these and that. That's not the main point. It's a matter of good means it's pleasing Krishna, bad means it's not. That's all. Good is it's connected to Krishna, bad means it's not. That's the whole system. Right? So when we're judging things on how it will be good for Krishna or not, then it's a matter of how to arrange that the service to Krishna is going on nicely. And so if something's not going on nicely, it's just a matter of shifting to make it go on nicely. You know what I'm saying? Let's say someone's managing and they're dealing in a way that's disturbing devotees. So then disturbing devotees is not actually part of the devotional process. Right? We haven't seen it as the, you know, 65th, you know, anga of bhakti. Like that, you know, the 27th quality of the devotee. Right? So, how to disturb others. Yeah. So, that kind of thing, it's not there. So then, what needs to be done? They have to stop disturbing devotees. Now, if that can, so it's just a matter of Krishna's not pleased, so do it in this way, then it will happen, and like that. And if they do it like that, then it's fine, it's done. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the natural way of devotional service. That's the path of pure devotional service. It's just, it's about pure devotion. So if something's wrong, just correct that part that's wrong, and now it'll go on. Now, if we're seeing according to good and bad, right and wrong, justice, and all these kind of things, we're going to see he's upset devotees, therefore he should be punished. Therefore he shouldn't be doing this service, or there should be something else, or someone else. It becomes a whole thing like that. When you say, no, no, but it's just now it's been corrected. No, but the others, then they'll feel bad. What are they going to think? You know, so in others, it's brought out as a whole, as a social thing rather than a spiritual thing. So it's not actually about Krishna consciousness, it's about the mundane consciousness of the devotees. At least they're being alluded to, that they cannot digest that, you know, we would just do like this. We just correct the lack in devotion. No, you have to correct the abnormality in justice, because justice is supreme, and bhakti can only function in a just environment. Because according to our philosophy, karma and jnana are the basis of bhakti, right? Isn't that our philosophy? Exactly. Exactly. That's the whole thing. We bring our conditioning in with us. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, you'll see even in other Abrahamic groups, they won't say these things. You know, because in the New Testament, everybody is squeaky clean. I mean, like squeaky, squeaky clean. Right? But in the Old Testament, everybody makes a mistake. Top to bottom. Everyone makes a mistake. Someone does something really weird. But then everybody just moves on. Right? So they won't say that. Now, if they might get some personal benefit from it, they might jump on the bandwagon to follow this, you know, the Christian kind of approach. But it's only because they'll get benefit from it. The other ones are falling because they actually truly believe that that moralistic approach is actually good. Is that... Yeah, so... Yeah. Does this make sense? So that's the problem, is karma and jnana are not the basis of bhakti. You can have bhakti even if karma and jnana aren't going nicely. Right? But if that not nicely is because of some impurity, then it will keep it from coming to the platform of pure devotion, or it won't progress on the path of pure devotion. Because we even see sometimes it's mentioned the pure devotees, if they get distracted, it's still not going to bother their absorption in Krishna. Right? Right? It just may not, they may not be moving as quick forward as quickly as they could. But if someone's below pure devotion, it will distract. That's the problem. So, therefore, it, as a secondary aspect, it is important. But it's not that that makes bhakti. It's only important because pure bhakti is pure goodness. But the problem is passion and ignorance keep you from seeing functioning in pure goodness. Therefore, you want to remove passion and ignorance. How do you do that? By establishing goodness. And goodness is established by following the rules and regulations given in the scriptures that support this. Right? Because these are the natural lifestyles of the devotee. That's where they're from. Right? And so, that's why it's there. But it's only because it pleases Krishna. But if we take it that no, the morality itself is important in itself, then we've missed the whole point of bhakti. Because even after explaining all this, how people have used all this in Krishna's service and all that, then we see that it's not about that. Especially here, the 11th canto. All that's leaving is these four. The devotees surrender to the Lord, they're acting in pure devotion to please the Lord. The Lord having that affection for the Lord, the devotees, and the Lord being controlled by the devotees. It keeps coming back to these points. You know, and we can see it's two points that are reciprocal. Because if you surrender, naturally you serve. But, you know, you can see a difference. There's the mood of surrender and there's the endeavor of service. In the same way. So it actually comes back to, it's just that affection between the Lord and the devotee. So to get it to be that simple, you have to clear all the anarthas that keep us from doing that. Hence, all the previous cantos. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to get to. But otherwise, then, if we're still worried about this, you know, this independence, my control, my enjoying, my, you know, the envy, the attachments, all these different things, then they get in the way and this won't be understood. This will think, okay, yeah, we've heard that. That's not really esoteric. What about substance? No, that's substance. Everything else is actually esoteric. Because that's the whole point for Mother Jashoda, because it's just about bhakti to Krishna. That's the reality. Then she could express that for cooking for Krishna, arranging his bath, dressing him, making arrangements for others to take the bath because she's doing some other services like cooking or waking or, you know, whatever she's doing. She's doing all that simply to express that love of parental rasa for Krishna. Right? So this, it's completely beyond this. That's why we were discussing this morning about this professionalism. It's just a stumbling block in pure devotion. But it's not that if you're professional, you start there. Now you engage that in Krishna service, because the point is you take your nature and connect it to Krishna. But to think that because one is professional, that's going to make devotional service better. Never. Because if that's the thing, then the theosophists would have been, you know, pure devotees, you know, 150 years ago. But they're not. They're still gross materialists. But basically, the only people who join that are professional and, how you say, intellectual. You know? Otherwise, you don't join. So, yeah, so it's just, it would have already happened. But it didn't. Because it's about pure bhakti. It's not about the secondary. But because we engage our nature in Krishna's service, whatever that is, we're professional, not professional, you know, I say Kim professional, you know. There's an appearance, maybe he's a professional, but I don't know. He's got a briefcase, but his shoes are untied, you know, like that. So then, you know, yeah. It doesn't matter. You engage your nature in Krishna's service, that's perfect. Right? Because you're trying to please Krishna. That's what makes it work. Yeah. No? Okay. So, what do you do? Yeah, I'm a kin professional.
That means one smells like
professional. Yeah, like that. Yeah. Or it depends. They don't smell it, right? Yeah. Okay. Actually, bhakti cannot exist without taking the dust from the feet of the devotees. Okay, so if you're looking for a mechanical process, here's your mechanical process. And without bhakti, one cannot experience the sweetness of my rasa. Right? Because the point is it's the devotees, their surrender, that's what then gives Krishna that mood of love for them and surrender to those devotees. Right? That's where the whole relationship is happening. Okay? So, the point is that how much bhakti do we have? We're 1/10,000 the tip of a hair, just to give an indication. Just the context for the question. Okay? Right, small, okay. So, then Radharani describes this, that her love for Krishna is like Mount Meru. Right? Solid gold, top of the universe, right to the bottom. That's serious. Then, all others are like a mustard seed. Right? Slight difference in volume here. Okay? Now, the because of Krishna's potency, because everything is Krishna, that connection, that if you connect to that affection between Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and his devotees, then as a mustard seed, you can add that mustard seedsness of prema to that, you know, basically that ocean of prema, and just make it, you know, Mount Meru plus a mustard seed. But you can experience that because you're connected to it. But if you can keep that independence, or what am I going to get, this and that, you won't experience it. This is that full surrender, then you experience it. So, the devotees, then without following devotees, you do not taste that. If it's just you and Krishna, you have the unlimited and 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. How's that going to go? Right? It's going to be something, but it won't. How much can you handle? You can't, unless you're connected to that ocean of nectar, then you won't appreciate it. Does that make sense? So that's the sign. That's why it always will come back to this point. It has to include the devotees. It can't not include the devotees. Does that make sense? So that's the whole science. So in other words, Radharani, she's the devotee. All others are her assistants. Just like Krishna is the supreme, and even all others, including Vishnu Tattva, they're all servants of Krishna. So Balaram's servant of Krishna, and he's the source of all other expansions of the Lord, and all other realms and everything. Then, if he's servant, why wouldn't we be? Right? It's just, does that make sense? Yeah. So, then this aspect is that, therefore, she is the devotee. Rupa Goswami mentions that nectar devotion. There's technically only one devotee, that's Radharani. Then there's the devotee of the devotee. So, therefore, for us, we have to take the dust from the feet of the devotees that, you know, wherever we are in the line. And then that's the whole point. We're surrendered to that. Because if it's just Krishna, it's not very pleasing to Krishna. But if we're serving the devotees, that becomes pleasing to Krishna. So if we want to know, you know, whether it's about ourselves or about pleasing Krishna, this may have shed some light. Yeah. I have established this rule. Krishna says, this is the way it is. Right? He mentions that those who say they're my devotee are not my devotee. Those who say they're the devotee of my devotee, they're the devotees. Therefore, I also should become absorbed in the full sweetness of my rasa like a devotee, my bhakti. Right? So therefore, because this is where rasa is going to be tasted, that's his rule, he also has to surrender to the devotees to taste this rasa. Otherwise, he's Atmarama, which is great. But rasa is even more great. Yes?
In this kind, it's mentioned that the alambana for experience, it can be either the Lord or a devotee also.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes. Well, the devotee will see as the Lord, and the Lord will see it as the devotee. But in there also you get the ashray and vishay, because that's also part of this. Yeah. Is that will always be there. But still, the principle is that Krishna is surrendered to the devotee surrendered to Krishna. But why make this distinction, you know, about the devotee's the ashray and he's the vishay? Because they're the ashray of a particular rasa. As we mentioned, Krishna is rasa. He's the ocean of rasa. So then, what aspect about this ocean you appreciate, that's the ashray, or the devotee is the shelter of that flavor. So here's Mother Jashoda. She's the ashray, or the shelter, of the love for Krishna as parental, in the parental mood, or in vatsalya. So therefore, Krishna will reciprocate with her based on that, not another rasa. That's the importance of this aspect of the Omba. Because otherwise they're both surrendered, but then what's the interaction? Based on what? Okay, they have love for each other, they're surrendered to each other, but how do you express that? You know, therefore the particular aspects of the rasa. Right? So that's why then there's, even within that, then you'll have the, what do you call this? Udipan. You know, the different things that cause the attraction. So they match that particular, because Krishna is unlimited. So those aspects that are consistent with one kind of flavor, then that is going to be, so then you'll have that kind of you know, inspiration, that kind of shelter, that kind of rasa, all that will go together, right? Does that make sense? And then it'll work. Yeah? Mm-hmm. We're all still here, or we got lost? So. Hmm? Okay, we're good. Okay. Yeah. So you can see you're learning something, right? Because otherwise, before, you know, when we bumped into this in the Jiva Dharma, we would have been lost, 45 minutes ago. But now we can go this far. Then the eyes start to go glazed. You know, so. Okay. Sri Krishna continued, those who are without any desire for personal gratification, whose minds are always attached to me, who are peaceful, without false ego, and merciful to all living entities, and whose consciousness is never affected by opportunities for sense gratification, right? Because they have no desire for it. It means they've given up the concept, right? Because generally we go, okay, you know, I won't have attachment to this or that, but that's the specific thing. Krishna's talking about just giving up the concept of sense gratification.
Yes.
It's just done for Krishna. And so if you give that up, all the details go automatically.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Such persons that enjoy in me a happiness that cannot be known or achieved by those lacking such detachment from the material world. Right? So it just can't be understood. So we hear about it. And from here we get purified, we get inspired, that we would like to come to that platform, even though the concept of it is, you know, completely foreign. You know? Yeah. But interesting to note, okay, I always follow in the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity, and equal disposition of everyone. Then the next one. Those who are without any desire for personal gratification, whose minds are always attached to me, who are peaceful, without false ego, merciful to all living entities. Right? He's saying the same thing in the two consecutive verses. Right? But from the angle of how he's following them, and then how, like this, that taste that is there between them can't be understood by people who don't have these qualities. So that repetition means this is very important. We can see in other chapters something comes up and it goes, but over many chapters you start to see a repetition. Like in the sixth canto, you start to see how these different kings, you know, one after the other, then, or even sometimes a gap between, and a few kings down, then they have that devotion to Krishna, no matter what is their position as kings and emperors, they're able to connect it all to Krishna. But then you start to see, you know, from ninth canto, seventh canto brings out the ninth canto, again and again, the same thing repeated. very, you know, every chapter you see, or even sometimes a few times. Now you see within a chapter, it's repeated many, many, many times. And that's been every chapter that he's been expressing so far. He's just coming in from a different angle of the same point. Right? So he's bringing it down to this one point. You know, that surrender to Krishna and performing devotional activities to please Krishna, Krishna's devotion for such devotees, and his surrender to such devotees, or being controlled by such devotees. Right? Because the external form may not look like surrender. Right? But the attitude is. Yeah? So it keeps coming down to this. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, since the happiness of experience in my form and qualities can be attained only by bhakti, no other process is recommended. Right? Of all the religious processes, the only one that's recommended is bhakti. Right? Now, if those other religious processes are favorable for your performance of bhakti, then as support or secondary aspects of to bhakti, then they're okay. But to think that process itself is making bhakti great, it's not happening. That makes sense? That's the whole point. It's not happening. They're not doing anything. They're only supporting bhakti. It's just like, if I take the preparation, you know, the three-star chef has cooked the preparation, his signature preparation. Now, if he puts it on a plate, does the taste of it depend upon the plate it's on? Not actuality. We may project, oh, so nice, it's such a fancy plate. Or, it's, you know, he just said, this is it. You know what I'm saying? You put the thing in this huge plate, you know, put a little stuff around it, then bring it, you know, the guy will bring it out and do all the whole thing like that. Or you're his friend, you're in the kitchen, he just hands you one and puts it in your hand. Are they going to taste different? No. But at the same time, is the one is because of the plate and all that, that's why it tastes so good. But the other is because of the relationship. Here they say, he just handed you one. You know, everybody else has got all these airs and attitudes and all this. He just handed you one, just eat, yeah. You understand? That's the difference. So it's not about the externals.
Yes.
Right? But it's not about the externals. No, it's not that the externals can't be there. Does that make sense?
Unless they support.
Unless they support. Because, I mean, it's just like there. You're right in the kitchen. Now you're going to bring out this table and tablecloth and put the candles and all that right there while he's kitchening and do all that and then sit his friend down? No. He's going to hand it to his friend, and his friend's going to lean on the counter behind him. Just make sure it's not the oven. It's hot. Right? Okay. So, yeah. So it's just going to be what matches. Now, the other one, they're out there. You know, it's a three-star restaurant. Then, you know, how much is that going to cost you? You don't want to know, right? And if you do want to know, you shouldn't be there. Like that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, then it's just, that works there. Therefore, it has to have all those things to it. It just adds to that. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, yeah, I say, you can't eat atmosphere, but you want to get your money's worth, right? You worked hard to get this money. Now, these guys at the restaurant better work hard to create the atmosphere that, you know, that I'm willing to pay for this, even though the chase is going to be the same. There's one, I don't remember what it is, some others may know. In Madras, that means before, I don't know about now, but there's one famous hotel, big hotel, one of the biggest there or in Madras. And they cook in their fancy restaurant all these preparations, you know, for the evening programs and all these things like that. And, you know, so many people come, and when you have an establishment like that, tons of people come. And at the same time, there may be occasions where they don't come. You know, something comes off a wedding or this, that, people don't show up. So, they have so much leftovers. And these leftovers are so good right? The quality of them. That they have an outlet in some other part of Madras, not like next door, like way somewhere else. That's some little hole in the wall that, you know, it looks like the regular hotels, like on the street, you know, that serve the, you know, the rotis and all that and the tea. And, you know, it looks like that. And there, then they distribute what's left over the next day. I'm not sure if you pay something, but it's very cheap, you know, because it's left over. But everyone knows it's leftovers from that place, you know. But, you know, it'll be the same taste. You know, you just don't get the, you can't have the false ego, you know, sit there and eat and all that. But, you know, early morning, you know, I think like 6:30 or what in the morning or whatever, then they're all there. You know, it's all happening.
This point of like...
No, you know, you don't know the restaurant, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
That unless and until you have that bhakti for the Lord, rest of them are not used.
The rest of them?
Are not of use.
Yes, yes.
So this prayer, which Prabhu mentioned that, no, we don't desire for the four kinds of liberation.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ritrasura prays this. I do not desire for this four liberation unless and until it is used in the service. It is useful in
yes,
the service.
Yes, because we don't see them separate. Because yes. Otherwise some may see it separate. Oh, I just want to go to Vaikuntha and have the same form as the Lord. Well, where's the bhakti? Where's the service?
So this is considered as a distinguishing feature of Bhagavatam. From there, it flips. That's why in Agni Purana mentioned Bhagavatam as where the pastime of Ritra is mentioned because of its pure reaching for the Lord.
Okay, so Ritra was saying that prayer.
Ritra was saying
that. Okay. Yeah, because the point is, we don't have any problem because Mother Jashoda happens to be on the same planet as Krishna. She is an associate. She does have the same opulences. In fact, Krishna kind of shares her opulences, you know, technically. You know, like that. And she has a matching form. She's the mother of Krishna. Like that. So she, all those four are there. But it's only because of their favorability to serving Krishna.
So this point is actually the distinguishing feature of Bhagavatam from other Puranas.
Okay. Means that only if it's supportive. While the others, then they talk about how it's something to gain.
Yeah, yeah.
The four types of liberation. Okay.
They mention about it, they talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a part of everything.
Yeah, well, that could be. Okay, if that's the main distinguishing, then they see that's right. Ramanujacharya takes Vishnu Purana as main, not Bhagavatam. They all study Bhagavatam. They're quite happy with that. But it's not their main book. With that, I'm not sure about the mudras.
Mahabharata and Gita.
That's their main works. Okay. And also, I think Ramanuja Vedanta Sutra and the Songs of the Alwars.
Divya Prabandhas.
Yes. Yes. So then, like that. Yeah. Oh, no, we have another minute. Okay. The devotees are without material desire, possessions. The happiness that they relish in me, they alone know, and not others. Why? This happiness arises only in those who have no expectation of liberation or material enjoyment. Because it's just Krishna's rule. That's how it is. Because for him, everything's him, and if you're trying to see that separate from him, where's the relationship with him? So when you've given up everything else and it's just him, then you get the full taste. The point is we're attached to something material. It's Krishna anyway, so why not be attached to the original person? He already includes the pot. You know, and when it's relation to him, then, you know, the pot then has just its use in relation to him. If you try to get into the pot separate from him, then all you get is the pot. It's Krishna, but that's all you're going to get. Thank God.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Natai Gaura Premanandini.